BBC News with Sue Montgomery. President Biden has set out a vision of North American unity and closer economic ties in a speech to the Canadian Parliament. Mr. Biden said the US and Canada are two countries that share one heart.
Because of our shared prosperity is deeply connected to our shared security. In the past years have proven that Canada and the United States are not insulated from the challenges that impact the rest of the world. The world needs Canada and the United States working together with our partners around the world to rally strong and effective global action.
Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said the two nations would stand together against authoritarian regimes.
Our world, our way of living, is facing multiple threats at the same time. That's why security policy is climate policy, is economic policy. With growing competition, including from an increasingly assertive China, there's no doubt why it matters that we turn to each other now to build up a North American market on everything from semiconductors to solar panel batteries.
There had been speculation that President Biden's visit might end with the announcement of an international force to help stabilize Haiti, where violence by armed gangs is fueling a humanitarian crisis. But this didn't materialize. Instead, Canada announced about $70 million US dollars worth of assistance to the Haitian police. Mr. Biden said any decision about a military force would have to be done in consultation with the UN and the Haitian government. The Rwandan dissident Paul Rusesabagina has been set free after serving 2 years of his 25-year sentence for terrorism offences. He was handed over to Qatari diplomats who've been leading negotiations for his release. Catherine Biarahanga reports.
It's taken years of diplomatic pressure and talks brokered by Qatar for Mr. Rusesabagina to be released. His international profile was cemented by the film Hotel Rwanda, which showed his efforts to protect hundreds of people sheltering at a hotel in Kigali during the 1994 genocide. Since then, he has been a vocal critic of President Paul Kagame and his human rights record. In August 2020, while in exile in Texas, Mr. Rusesabagina was lured back home by Rwandan agents on a journey he thought was to neighbouring Burundi. He was found guilty on terrorism charges in 2021.
The Tunisian Coast Guard says at least 67 African migrants are missing, feared drowned, after five shipwrecks over the past 2 days. Officials say there's been a sharp rise in boats carrying would-be migrants. BBC News. President Biden has said he's prepared to act forcefully to protect Americans after he ordered multiple US airstrikes in northern Syria. These were in retaliation for an attack by Iranian-linked groups that killed an American contractor and wounded five US troops. Mr. Biden said the US did not seek conflict with Iran but would protect its people. The Peruvian women's minister says that an 18-year-old who was set on fire by her former boyfriend in a square in the centre of Lima has died. Catherine Gomez was admitted to hospital on Saturday, suffering burns to 60% of her body in a case that shocked the nation. Police have been criticised for their slow response. The UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres has said the world needs urgently to modify its consumption of water. A UN report warned of a looming global crisis as pollution and overconsumption lead to growing water shortages. Mr. Guterres said the future of humanity depended on its adoption of an agenda for water use based on science.
As humanity's most precious global common goods, water unites us all. And it flows across a number of global challenges. Water is about health, sanitation, hygiene, and disease prevention. Water is about sustainable development, fighting poverty, supporting food systems, and creating jobs and prosperity. Water is about human rights and gender equality. That is why water needs to be at the center of the global political agenda.
The American actress Gwyneth Paltrow has been giving evidence at the trial in which she's being sued over a skiing accident in 2016. She has denied being a reckless skier and is countersuing Terry Sanderson, claiming it was he who skied into her, not the other way round. BBC News.